Evening. It is a little better if you guys are getting a little closer. Singing does sound even better. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not, but it was a little better. I appreciate you guys moving in. I know sometimes you got to leave your comfortable spots, but Sunday nights, it's good. It's okay to be together, right? It's okay for us to get closer together and sing. I think it just, I don't know, it just makes everything a little bit better. I know the singing was better tonight. I appreciate you guys getting up and moving from your spots. What I'd like to do, I want you to go ahead and turn in your songbooks, if I can find this. You want to go to heaven? We want to go to heaven, don't we? We want to talk about it, we want to sing about it, thinking about our graduates. And we're going to talk about success tonight. To me, this is success. And so I want to sing about that a little bit before we get into our lesson. Page 853, number 853. We'll see kind of how the first verse goes, and if that goes all right, we may sing another verse or two. So, but 853. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
That sounded pretty good. You got through all three verses with me leading, starting. I shouldn't say leading, but starting. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at a pretty well-known passage tonight and kind of start from there. It's sure good to have each and every one of you here tonight. And before we get into our lesson, let's go to God together. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we are so thankful to be your people, so thankful to gather with your people and to sing, to be reminded of the place you prepared for your people. We long to be with you, Father, and we thank you for that hope. May we never lose sight of that. Help us, Father, not to be distracted by the things of this world. We pray you please forgive us when we are distracted and that you'll help us refocus on what we're really doing on this earth, that we're preparing for a much better place, and Father, you want us to help others prepare for that place. And Father, we pray that things we say tonight be pleasing to you. Father, we thank you so much for our young people, every one of them, for the youngest to the oldest. And Father, we're especially mindful of Hallie and Chelsea, and Father, their accomplishment to this point in their life. And we thank you for the young ladies that they are, and Father, the young ladies that they've grown into and that they will continue to be. And we just pray that you strengthen them, that they will look to you, rely on you for their lives, and always remember that you have a place for them in your kingdom, and that, Father, they have a home in this church family, wherever they go. And we pray that they understand how much you love them, how much we love them, and what an amazing purpose you have for them. We pray that, Father, you'll be with us now, as we know you will, and may we speak your word in the way we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Success. A lot of people have a lot of different definitions of what success is. You know, maybe growing up and having a great job, making a lot of money, having a nice house in the right neighborhood, or driving the right vehicle, or wearing the right clothes, the right kinds of clothes, or looking a certain way, or marrying the right person, or marrying into the right family. You know, the truth is we can have all those things and all the things that our world says make you successful. We can have all those things and yet still not be successful. Because success is not what you accomplish. It's not what you do or what you have or what achievements you may achieve. But success really has to do with who you are. Success really has to do with who you are in light of God's purpose for you. Money comes and goes. Even if you go before your money goes, right? You're not going to take your money with you. Our possessions are the same way. They're temporary. Our houses, we can build a brand new house in a few years. Somebody's probably going to be tearing that down because it's going to wear out. It's going to get old. No matter how nice we build it, how well we build it. Clothes become outdated. People, friendships can come and go. Knowledge, education, that's going to fade away at some point. All the things that those around us tell us determine success, they're temporary. And so the question is, if success is not measured by those things, how do I measure success in my life? And how do you measure Hallie and Chelsea and all the rest of us? How do we measure success in our lives? It's interesting that Jesus really measures success by your heart. And I think all you have to do is read through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Because everything was about the heart. In other words, Jesus teaches that we're to be a certain way on the inside, and that's what really matters. Not even our actions sometimes can be deceiving, because we can have the right action but not have the right motive to do it, and our hearts not be right. So things may seem right on the outside, but if the heart's not right, then the person's not right. So that's what we want to look at tonight, the heart. And I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. Because this is really what makes, I think, true success. And then we're going to do a little, I guess you call it an acrostic. We're going to take the word heart, and hopefully we can remember five things about the heart and about success tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5, trust in the Lord. The ESV says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make straight your paths. Since Solomon here says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, we want to use that word heart. And I want you to remember five things tonight. The first starts with the letter H, humility. Now, humility is not something we like to talk about. Because we are taught from a very early age that you've got to be the best, right? Or you've got to be first. I'm not saying you don't strive to do your very best, but the way our culture is, if you don't finish first, and if you're not the best at everything, that basically you're nothing. You don't really matter. And that's really a lot of our culture and what we're being taught. If you're not the best, you don't matter. If you don't look a certain way, right? You don't matter. If you don't dress a certain way, if you don't have the right friends, or you're not in the right group, or you don't live in the right neighborhood, then you don't really matter. That's what our world would tell us at times. And yet, Jesus comes along and He says in Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12, the greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So as the world's telling us that success means you must be first,
and you must put yourself first or you're not going to get anywhere. Jesus is saying your success means you're putting yourself last and you put others first. So before you do anything, you think about others as opposed to always thinking about yourself. Paul speaks about that in Philippians chapter 2. And it was the mind of Christ. It was the attitude of Christ. As he put us before he put himself. Or he thought of others. He thought of the world before he thought of himself. And he humbled himself. And so we should follow that example. That doesn't make sense to our worldly thinking, to the world's mindset. And maybe that's why I need to follow what the proverb writer says here, and Solomon says here, that I just need to trust in the Lord and not in my own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding, because my own understanding of things sometimes is not right. So I need to trust in my Lord's understanding and my Lord's commands. And so the first thing is, when we are humble, when we humble ourselves to serve others and to put others first, you're going to be a success. The second letter is the letter E in the word heart. And what I want us to think about with the letter E is eternal perspective. Eternal perspective. So humility, and then secondly, eternal perspective. Turn to Matthew chapter 16 for a minute. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 26. Matthew 16, verse 26. Jesus has just talked about denying yourself and taking up your cross and following him. In verse 26, he says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Eternal perspective is another difference between a person of God and the world. The world won't tell you that you can have all the stuff that the world has to offer. You can have all those things that we talked about that the world thinks that you need to have to be happy. The world won't tell you you can have all that stuff, you can have all the worldly accomplishments, and still be a failure. The world won't tell you that, but that's true. You can have everything this world has to offer, and you can be a failure, because you can end up, after you pass away from this life, or the Lord comes back, and you can spend an eternity away from God. And that's the definition of failure. No matter what we've done or what we've accomplished or what we've gained in this life. And so we don't want to let the world, we don't want to let Satan deceive us into thinking that we've got to focus on the here and the now or focus on the things that we can see. And that's hard because, you know, usually the things you can see are the things that we know that are real. And yet, that's why we can't be pleasing to God without faith, because we have to have faith in him, even though maybe we can't see him physically. We mentioned a verse, I believe, last Sunday morning about Moses. Turn a little further in your New Testaments to Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Look at what he chose to do, verse 25. "Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." Verse 26. "He considered the reproach of Christ greater." "He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." So how was Moses able to decide not to grow up as an Egyptian and live that type of lifestyle, a comfortable lifestyle that would have given him anything he wanted? Why was he able to give that up and live as an Israelite who was persecuted, who was under oppression and having to deal with all the things that the Israelites had to deal with, especially underneath the Egyptians? What made him choose that life? By faith. Because of his faith in God, because he realized there was something greater than even something really good on this earth. You take the greatest thing that you could ever have on this earth, and it doesn't compare what you can have in heaven. It doesn't compare with what God wants to give you after this life is over. And so we want to be able to look past the things of this life and not allow ourselves to be misled. And to realize, not realize what an amazing thing God has got in store for his people in eternity. So you'll be a success in this life if you have humility and if you have an eternal perspective. So you're looking beyond maybe everything that you can see with that hope of eternal life with an eternal Father, an eternal home in heaven. The third thing is acknowledge. So humility, have an eternal perspective. The third thing is acknowledge the Lord. And that goes back to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. So in everything I do, I'm mindful of God. I'm mindful of what is it that God would want me to do. How would He want me to handle this situation? How would He want me to handle this setback? Or maybe this blessing? How would He want me to handle any situation that I'm faced with? Someone has said this, that the word acknowledge comes from a word that means to give attention to the Lord for the purpose of learning from Him. So looking to the Lord to try and learn what is it that He wants me to do. That's part of why I think we need to study God's Word so that we can see what His Word says and then we can live it out. We can apply it in the areas of our life where we need to, where He would have us to. Make choices with God's guidance and with His help. Choices like who you choose to be friends with, who you choose to be your friends, who you choose to hang around with. There's an interesting passage in Proverbs chapter 12. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. Proverbs 12, verse 26. I want to read this out of the ESV, and then I want to read it out of the New King James also. But Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The New King James says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You know, I think I've told this story before, but many years ago, several years ago, there was a girl that I knew that grew up in the youth group, the leader of the youth group. I mean, she was a girl, but she was the strongest Christian growing up in that youth group. She goes off to college. She goes to a Christian college. And she chose the wrong friends. And she got into alcohol and drugs. And over time, she was able to recover and I think turn her life around. But I would have never dreamed that she would have taken that path. But I think she would tell you, I think her parents would tell you, that it all went back to who she chose as her friends. Who she chose to surround herself with. Because if you look at the proverb writer here, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, because look at what he says at the end of that verse. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. You choose the wrong friend, and they will lead you astray. You choose the right friend, and they will help you stay on the right path. They will help lead you to the Lord. They will help keep you on the path to the Lord and the path that the Lord wants you to stay on. So look to the Lord to help you choose godly friends, to choose the right career path, to choose the right place to live, to choose the right mate, to choose how to raise your children, to choose how to live the way you're going to live your life. Let God guide you in those things. It's so easy to go through every day and make choices, make decision after decision without ever considering what God wants. Let's not do that. Let's be mindful of what's God's plan. What is His will really for my life? And there might be some things that He wants, but it may not be something I want. Or I might want something, and it may not be something He wants for me. And the more I draw near to Him, the more I seek after Him, I think the more I'm going to be okay with that, even if it's not something I want. If I trust God, if I really trust Him and I acknowledge Him in all my ways, I'm going to be okay with that. And I'm eventually going to see it's what's best for me. It's what's the very best for me. try and please God in all that we do. All that we do. Our job, our school, our families, our activities, how we treat our parents, how we treat our children, how we treat our friends, how we treat our enemies, how we treat those that hate us. Seek to please God in all that we do, in the things we watch, the things we listen to, in all of our activities. Proverbs 16, verse 25, another passage in Proverbs. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. That's why I need to trust in my Lord and not in myself, because there may be something that I think is a good way to go, and it could lead me away from my Heavenly Father. So I want to trust in my Lord. Just because something feels good or it feels right doesn't mean that it's right. It could be the devil. It could be a lot of other things that aren't good for me. So just because something feels right doesn't make it right. And it might feel right for me to take a job or to take a job promotion because it means more money, but it may mean I could become consumed with my work and neglect my family and neglect my relationship with the Lord. It could mean that it keeps me away from worshiping the Lord on a regular basis. And so there are certain things that I need to recognize and be mindful of and make sure that in all that I'm doing, I'm acknowledging God and seeking to please Him. We'll be a success. You'll be a success if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Number four, the fourth letter in the word heart is R, and that is resist. Resist. Resist the devil. Resist. Put up a fight against Satan. Sometimes it's like we just kind of roll over and just say, well, we can't be perfect. And I'm not saying we're not going to mess up, we're not going to fail, but at least we ought to go down fighting, right? We ought to put up a fight against Satan. We ought to try to resist him. James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil's not going easy on us. And the devil doesn't take any days off. He doesn't take any time off. We should never overlook him. We should never underestimate the devil. Turn to 1 Peter for a minute. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. So be clear-minded. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Be watchful. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we got to recognize the type of enemy that we face. So be watchful, be ready for him. And then verse 9, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So Peter says, you be sober-minded, you be clear-minded, you be watchful, you be looking out for the devil. You got to be disciplined. We got to be ready. And then we got to guard our post, so to speak. We got to stand guard. We got to guard our hearts, guard our lives, guard our minds. Satan's always going to be after us. And he's always going to be after what's most valuable. And you know what's most valuable? Your soul. He's after your soul. He's after your heart, and so we've got to guard it. Your faith in God will be tested. You know, and as you move from high school and go on from wherever you go from here, you're going to be tested in ways that you really could never dream of. And you're going to be tested in a lot of ways that I wasn't tested when I was a high school graduate and in college. But we need to understand that no matter what you face, God will help you through it. And you've got to acknowledge Him, and you've got to resist the devil and the temptations that he is going to put before you. And if you will, and if you're on the lookout, you'll be ready. And you'll be able to stand your ground. It doesn't matter what the world says. If you resist
sin, you resist the devil, you'll be a success. And you're not going to miss out on what's important. And I think sometimes the world will make us think that if we don't go along with some of the things that the world is doing, that we're going to somehow miss out on any kind of joy or happiness in this life. What we're going to miss out on is the misery and the pain and the hurt that sin causes if we resist the devil and if we resist sin. The last thing is the letter T, and it's the word trust. Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Have you ever wondered what it really meant to trust in the Lord? What does it really mean to trust in the Lord? If you were to look up the word for trust, you would find different words. Words like confidence, words like security or being secure, boldness, hope, being reliant is part of the idea of trusting. Trusting in God is not just something we talk about, and it's not something that we should just... It's not something that we just should think is a good idea and then go on and live life on our own. It should be something that we strive to do and make it a way of our life, the way of our life. I should put all my confidence in God because I trust God with all my heart. You should put all your confidence in God because you trust God with all your heart. You should know that your soul and your eternal life is secure with God because you trust God. We should wake up every day with hope, with peace, and knowing that no matter what I face, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. In other words, it takes care of any issues, any problems I may face. You know, as young people, and even as older people, we don't really have to know exactly what tomorrow holds. You know, we may have some uncertainty with... our finances. We may have some uncertainty with, you know, where we're going to go to school. We may have some uncertainty with maybe what we're going to do in school. We may have uncertainty with maybe even our family situation or even maybe where we're going to live. We may not know who we're going to marry. We may not know, what kind of job we're going to have or how much money we're going to make. Here's the thing. We don't have to know all those things. We don't really have to be worried about any of those things. Our success will not be measured by money, by what we accumulate, what we achieve. But really, our success is going to be determined by how much we've trusted in our Lord and how much we've lived this life for Him. And we may not understand everything that's going to happen in our life, but that's okay because we trust in the one who does. You and I have a very limited amount of understanding. We can't see very far beyond our immediate area and our immediate lives. God sees everything. Why not trust Him? And He sees how everything's going to work out. And so why not trust in the one that does know everything? And when we can trust completely in God, we don't fear what man can do to us. And we don't worry about what we can't control. And so your success, my success, our success depends on whether or not we trust in our Creator with all our heart. So if you want to say what is success, it has to do with the heart. It has to do with the heart. It's about being humble. It's about having humility. It's about having an eternal perspective. It's about acknowledging the Lord in all that we do. It's about resisting the devil and resisting temptation when we're faced with it. And it's about ultimately trusting in the Lord with all our hearts. You know, guys, you may become a great lawyer, doctor, vet, coach, or something else where you make a lot of money. But even if you accomplish those things, remember, that's really not your success, and that's really not what determines your success. Your success is determined by whether or not the Lord has your heart whether or not you've given him your heart, whether or not you've given him your life, and whether or not you're living this life to serve him and to glorify him and to honor him. And that really is the measure of a successful life. Success is living this life for the Lord. And then when you die, get to go to heaven. Get to go be with him for all eternity. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. True success is living for the Lord and allowing him to give you success according to his definition of success and not ours. And ultimately, you'll have the privilege of living in eternity with the Creator, with our Heavenly Father, with all the saints in that eternal home. The first thing that we all must commit to the Lord is ourselves and our lives, and really the rest of our lives. And maybe there's someone here this morning or tonight that's never done that. If you need to commit your life to the Lord, we ask you to do that by confessing your belief in him and being baptized, have your sins washed away. Maybe you just need prayers. Maybe you've done that and you just need prayers. We want to pray with you. And we want our seniors to know how much we as a congregation love you and appreciate you. And also know that you're always going to have a home, a church family that loves you. Wherever you go from here, we hope you come back. And we pray that you'll let God lead you as you move on from this point in your life. Tonight, if you need prayers or you need to become a Christian, won't you do it now while we stand, while we sing?